What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
If a house is not built on a solid foundation, it's going to collapse. Would you want to be in a house that can fall at any moment? No. So why would you want to be in a business that's going to fall at any moment?
The What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source.
To all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good?
Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. We are in season 10. It's crazy when I say that out loud. But we are in season 10, and we are talking about wealth management because that's what y'all chose. So we have another guest with us. Her name is Darlisa Diltz. How are you?
I am awesome. How are you?
Good. Doing amazing.
Yes.
I'm excited to have you on because let me tell you, when we went to the True Fun event, Ashley, yeah. She said, if you have not connected with Darlisa, you are tripping because, like, that's the auntie we all need when it comes to business. So I'm excited for us to chat today.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, I see you everywhere. So
thank you for having me. Like, it's such an honor, such a privilege to be here and a part of it. So thank you for asking me to be a part of it.
You're so welcome. All right. So as you guys know, we do not have interviews. We have genuine conversations. So you ready?
I am.
Okay. So we always start off with an icebreaker. And I'm excited to hear your answer with this. When someone tells you entrepreneurship is too risky, what's your honest reaction?
Baby, listen, okay? Everything is risky. At this point, turning on the TV is risky, right? So I guess it would just be like picking your battles, right? And how much risk can you absorb as a person, right? I guess, and I will also say, I wouldn't identify with entrepreneurship being risky, but it is challenging, right? But it's like, what isn't a risk these days?
Like, even picking up your phone, like you said.
Everything is a risk.
That's true.
So it's just what's your capacity for risk-taking will be my thing.
I love that. Come on, capacity.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get into our genuine conversation. How we normally start is, who is the guest? So for you, who is Darlisa?
That's a great question. And over the years, that has been a question I have really had to identify with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, I am a faith fanatic. Everything about me is my faith. What I do, how I speak, how I move. I am a family person. So I am a wife, a mother. I have a dog. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister, you know, all the things, right? And I am that sports mom. Like, I'm at every game still. My children are grown.
Yeah.
Right? My son, he plays college ball. He's a junior. I'm at every game that I can be at. My daughter, she's getting ready to be a coach. She played ball. She's getting ready to be a coach. And guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be at her games.
I'm surprised you're saying college because it's like you have grade school kids.
No,
so blessings.
Ooh, girl.
Come on. Okay, keep going.
Look,
sorry.
You see these, if you get close, you will see these little strings of wisdom I got.
Would not have guessed. So you saying that my eyes is getting bigger and bigger. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, I have a grown-up. Like, she's out of college. Wow. Yeah. So she's getting ready to be a coach. So, and of course, I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I have the blessing, and I've been doing this now for close to 20 years. So I'm a community stakeholder. But first and foremost, like, I'm just a person, you know? Like, I'm a regular person
mm-hmm.
That is passionate about helping other people mm-hmm. on this entrepreneur journey. So that's, I love to travel.
Mm-hmm.
I love to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the gym now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm middle aged, so I'm like, I gotta keep something together here. And I like food too much, so I had to pick the gym. But that's me. Like, I'm gonna just, you know, that's who I am.
I love it, Darlisa.
Thank you.
So there's a couple of things I want to ask you. Moving back to when you first started, it's like you said, it's a passion for you to help others. And initially, when you're not seeing the funds of business entrepreneurship, right, it kind of is like, dog, I'm feeling like this is a job. But you're past that point. Like you said, you're 20 years in. Mm-hmm. So now that this is a passion of yours to actually support people, mm-hmm. how did you get from the busyness of things to now, like, this is just a part of you?
That's a great question. I don't know that you ever get away from the busyness of it, right? Mm-hmm. As you grow, more comes. Sure. So it's just kind of separating the busyness and reallocating. But I would say I've had to take, there's been a couple of hard lessons, right? A hard hit. I was that person, and you still see it today. The early entrepreneurs are excited. They want to be engaged. They're volunteering. They're showing up. They're, you know, in all the things. And you realize that's not business, right? Mm-hmm. It's not business. And so it has been several times where I got burned, you know, by industry, community, the clients, you know, all the things. And I would probably say within post-pandemic, right? So all that time, it really hasn't been since post-pandemic. But what I have realized is all of that goes into me being able to be where I am today. So I have teams now. So like, I look at myself like, I'm an employer. So I don't have to be all things. I had to adapt to delegation. Because what I do, like, that's my baby. That's my passion. So finding other people that will support that passion, not selfishly, that's hard, mm-hmm. right? Entrepreneurship is one thing. Now when you go into business ownership, that's another thing. So trusting the right people, trusting myself enough to be a leader in that regard. So it's like evolution over time, but I would say probably within the last 5 years is where I've mentally grown enough to take that step back. One, trust people with the vision, trust myself enough to say, I can do this at this capacity. And then I had to get real clear with my purpose. Because I got lost in it. Because trying to satisfy family, right? When I'm at home, girl, they don't care nothing about, listen, not even the dog, you hear me? Because when I have to walk him, he gonna poop on that grass, and guess what I'm gonna have to do? Pick it up. So he don't care nothing about this community work, right? When I am at work, like, it's a whole nother thing. Sidebar, I used to want to be an actress. That was my goal. When I was growing up, I just knew I was gonna be an actress. I was gonna be on stages. I was going to do all the things. Didn't quite happen that way. But when I think about it, technically I kind of am. And I don't get to pay the big bucks and I don't have to deal with the baby oil. But it still is kind of a thing, right? Because you have to turn on and you have to turn off.
Right.
What do they say? Code switching, right? So you kind of got to know. And I was a yes person, meaning whenever somebody needed, I'm like, yep, yes, I'll do it. Because I thought that's what made me successful. So I had to learn how to set boundaries, and I'm still learning, right? And it hasn't been, and probably the last 2 years or so, I've really taken a step out of it because I wear multiple hats and they all connect in my mind, but I had to realize I'm not Superwoman. So if I'm going to fulfill this mission and purpose, one, I had to pray. I was like, God, you're going to have to help me with this thing. Because I'm not going to lie, I get sick of people, right? Mm-hmm. And same. I had to learn that people are always going to people. And I can't expect me out of those people. And it hurts when you get reminded of that, right? So I had to learn, you know, delegation. I had to set boundaries. And that it has taken all that time to arrive where I am today. And I still have so much more to learn.
I love that. So there's so many things, but one in particular that you said that I really enjoy, because I've had conversations with people about it, What is entrepreneurship versus business ownership?
So entrepreneurship is like you, mm-hmm. right? Like you are the business, you are working, you are the thing, right? It is your business, your passion. Business ownership is more of a team structure, right? So you are still an entrepreneur, but now you own a business. You have infrastructure, you have team, you know, there's other dynamics other than you. So that's the difference. Entrepreneurship is more singular, right? You are the entrepreneur, whereas business ownership is organizational.
That was good. Okay. That was good. Okay, so I do want to talk about, as far as your background, you help entrepreneurs within every step of growth, right? I want to talk about the infrastructure portion that you mentioned as far as getting your foundation. Why is that so important to actually take that time to understand your business, who you're talking to, what value are you adding to whomever your customer or client is?
So great question. So I want to go back. So for me and my organization, we help organizations. We help communities build out an infrastructure for the entrepreneurs, right? So I've graduated from the one-on-ones with the entrepreneurs, but the education piece is paramount. Foundationally, and if you think about a house, a structure, anything, if it's not on something solid, it's going to what?
Right.
It's fail, fall. It's mm-hmm. going to sink, it's going to all the things. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with entrepreneurship. The internet, social media has brainwashed us, right? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but the moment things become easily accessible to us, usually it's far behind. We're so far behind, mm-hmm. right? If we don't take the time in the beginning to learn it, develop it, understand it, we're just going to be on a wheel.
That's true.
Right? Now, that's easier said than done, because when you get it, you want to go for it, right? But you have to think about it structurally. If a house is not built on a solid foundation, it's going to collapse. Would you want to be in a house that can fall at any moment? No. So why would you want to be in a business that's going to fall at any moment? So if you don't know who your customers are, how are you going to make money? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about all of those things out of the gate, that's still not a recipe for success per se, because entrepreneurship is day by day. There's more gray than black and white.
Absolutely.
In entrepreneurship. And so if you are a person that operates in black and white, you may struggle with entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship is mostly gray, right? So having at least a guideline or a blueprint or even a GPS, right?
That's right.
I use the GPS as an example often, mm-hmm. because you need two things to get started. You need a destination and you need a starting point. The GPS is going to provide that infrastructure in between. So if you are a person, you put the GPS on, but you decide, I'm not going to follow the GPS, I'm going to just do my own thing, why turn on the GPS?
In the first place,
mm-hmm. right? Because that GPS provides that guidance for you. There's road closures, there's faster routes, some you have to pay for, some, you know, all the things. So creating a business GPS is super important. Where are you right now? Realistically. If we're sitting here today, and I'm trying to get to Houston, but I put my home address in as my starting point, am I going to get the same directions? No, right? Because I'm here today. And a lot of times entrepreneurs, we're afraid to say where we are realistically.
True.
I don't have any money. I got a big vision. I know how to do it. I just need the steps, mm-hmm. right? But we instantly jump to, I need money and I need this and I need that. Let's go back for a little bit, right? What have you done? What traction? Who's helped you? What classes? What's your knowledge? What's the education on it before you jump to, well, I need somebody to give me money for this thing that I'm trying to do because I want to do it and I'm thinking about doing it. Right. And then 3 months down the line, you're like, oops. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's just kind of taking that initial step, pausing, mm-hmm. and not being in a hurry, because entrepreneurship is not a sprint.
That's true.
It's not a sprint. Uh-huh. If we went through life sprinting all the time, we'll be skinny, but
we'd be tired.
We're tired. And it's not sustainable.
That is good. So I do want to ask you, during that process of course, being by yourself, being silent with yourself, what are some questions we should be asking ourselves as business owners? If that's at the beginning, like you mentioned, as far as the GPS, where am I at today? When it's the middle part of, is it time for me to actually get funding? What are some questions that we need to reflect on when it comes to us being business owners?
What do you want to get out of the business? What's the ultimate goal,
right,
for being in business? Mm-hmm. And we can say it's our passion. We can say it's our calling. But at the end of the day, what do you want that business to do for you? Because that's going to help determine how you move. If it's just money, that means you need to get more customers, right? So if you want more customers, that means you're going to have to be on the grind, right? If you want relationships, if you want legacy, if you want this to be something that you pass on to your kids, that means your infrastructure has to be tight. You have to set it up appropriately. That's your registrations, how you set up your operations within your company. So the first question would be, what do you want to get out of this business? Why are you starting this business? The second is, how long do you want to be in the business?
That's good.
Right? Because we can get started all day, but everything comes to an end.
Do you think that would be the exit strategy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. How long do you want to be in this business? Is this something you want to start, scale it, and sell it? Is this something you want to do just because you enjoy doing it? Is it something you want to pass on to your children? What does that look like? Ages, right? When your children reach age 18, do you want to pass it on? So how much time do you have to build that business? What type of training do you need to give them? And when does that need to start, right? So that would be my second question. Lastly, it would be to evaluate your own capacity. What is my life like right now that makes me think I can absorb this? You know, if you're already battling, and sometimes people are kind of forced into entrepreneurship, right? Maybe they're laid off. Yeah, maybe the family is downsized, whatever the case, right? But you have to examine your own capacity, because if you have multiple children and they're active, if your income is low, if you travel a lot, if you have health issues, you know, all the things, right? Those are factors that you have to think about. What is my own capacity for building this thing, right? Because in the beginning, it's you.
It is.
And if you fall off, what happens to the business?
Yeah, it's gonna fall off too.
Mm-hmm. Right? So those were the top three, I would say.
That's good. Okay, so before we move on to our next segment, I do want to ask you as far as readiness. I think that is, I can only talk about my personal experience. When it came to the readiness of growth coming towards funding, mm-hmm. there were a lot of, you should do this, instructions, that. But how do we know what's actually for our business? Like, either the grant option or a line of credit. There's so many different things when it comes to funding that people don't know about.
No.
Right? And so for one, the education piece, can mm-hmm. we talk about? And then also, how do we know if we're even ready for that next step to get funding?
Right. So great questions. The first thing I would say is the misconception about grants. Mm-hmm. Grants were created for nonprofit organizations. Right? That is what the infrastructure of a grant was started for.
I had no idea.
For nonprofits. The pandemic made a shift in the thinking of what grants were for, right? So I'll go back and say grants were established for nonprofits. When you think about nonprofits, they are tied to the community and you don't own it. right? So we get a lot of people, well, I want to start a nonprofit because then I can apply for a grant. Well, you don't own it. Your board does. And you're going to compete for the same grants that a United Way, you have banks that are nonprofit arms. So the understanding of what a grant is paramount, right? That's not to say that there are not any available, but understanding what a grant is. Next, so there are multiple types of lending products.
Right.
Line of credit, microloans, traditional loans, machinery and equipment loans, inventory loans. You have things like factoring, which is if you get a big contract or a big invoice that's payable, some lenders will pay you based on that. So there's a lot of different things. The main question is, can you and how will you pay it back?
Right. Because the biggest question.
That's the only, if we're being real, that's what a lender is concerned with. Can you and how will you
pay it back?
Pay it back. Because they're a business too, right? And there's another misconception that these lending institutions are investors to our business. They're not.
That's right.
These are businesses. They want to get paid. And how banks make money is through interest on loans. So if I, an entrepreneur, come to a bank and I'm like, I lost my job. I haven't started my business yet. I don't have any customers, so naturally, but I need you to give me 50 grand. The first question that we need to think about is what? How you're going to pay that loan back. If you don't have a J-O-B and you don't have any customers, you don't have a loan, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say, so that's the extreme, right? But we get a lot of that.
I'm sure.
A lot of that.
It's the idea mentality.
It's the idea that these banks are here to give you a loan. But if you can't pay it back, you're out. Okay, so you've been in business, right? You have some revenue. You are able to do a little something, right? And you're trying to expand. You're trying to grow. If you go to a lender and you say, I need a loan for 50K, and they're like, okay, great. What are you going to do with it? I mean, I just need it for, you know, to help me. I need to... That's like going to your cousin and being like, can you drop me 50?
Right.
And what is that cousin going to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to do that. But if you go and you say, here's my revenue. I've made, let's just say, 100 in my business. That's, you know, I've made 100,000. I need 25K to get me over. I need to replenish my inventory. There's a piece of equipment. I'm trying to upgrade my system. You know, something tangible. You've made 100 in revenue, so you don't want to ask for 200 in a loan because you've only made 100. But if you ask for 25, that's showing that you understand your business. You know, here's a small chunk that I can pay back. My loan notes are going to be cheap. I can segment that out, et cetera, right? So from a positioning standpoint as an entrepreneur, we have to know our business structure, our business model, and why we're asking for this money. Lending institutions are not in business to fund your salary, because that's what revenue is for, right? They're not in business to fuel your passion. That's why you have customers, right? So it goes back. If you can't identify who your customers are,
that's true.
Neither can the bank, and they're not going to fund that because they need to be paid back too.
I love how you did a full circle moment with that, because I do think people don't spend enough time. Like, it's okay to be in the ideation stage, but the actionable part is what's going to help grow your business. Because I even, you know, me being a podcast producer, I talk to people all the time. And oh, I got this amazing idea to start a podcast. And we're still months later have not launched not one episode, not even the trailer, because you're stuck in the ideation stage. So it's so funny that you mentioned it's okay to have an idea, but if you're not taking action for that growth to now take that next level to do your funding, if you don't know your why and the purpose of everything, you to get started, it's going to be far few and none.
Far few and none. And I want to say, too, go back to the different types. So lines of credit,
right?
Microloans. Mm-hmm. So lines of credit are replenishable, right? You use it, you pay it back. You use it, you pay it back. You use it, you pay it back. Just like a credit card, right? In the beginning, that could be useful, right? So if you get a $10,000 line of credit, that should get you over a hump, but you still have to pay it back.
Well, right? With the line of credit, you can only take out what's needed, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Some institutions, it depends.
Okay.
They will approve you for, say, a $25,000 line of credit, right? And it's revolving, right?
Yeah.
But that's where the relationship comes with having a good banker or what have you.
True.
Because they can see how your funds are moving through, and they can approve you for this line of credit because they know how your money comes in.
Makes sense.
Right? So then you have like those services, and I forget what type of loans they are, but like through Stripe and PayPal, and they will give you a loan based on your transactions, right?
I've seen
where
that.
You can, now the interest rates on those are going to be higher, right? And they're going to get their money off top. So you make money, they're going to take theirs before you even see your profit.
Which is smart on them.
Right? Yeah. But a lot of lending institutions frown on those in terms of growth, right? Because it's high interest rates, you know, and it makes your profitability low because they're going to show what you're profiting because they're going to get their money first.
Makes sense.
But then there's microloans, which microloans are a little easier to get, but the interest rate is extreme. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they're known as like the payday loans of business loans, but they can be useful if you really need it, just knowing the interest rate is going to be high and is usually 25K and under that you can get. You don't need a business plan a lot of times for those, but they will work with like lesser credit. The requirements aren't as heavy. So then you have what's called CDFIs, Community Development Financial Institutions. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it stands for. And a CDFI, there's a misconception there that they are supposed to openly fund you for things. So I'll say, for example, like BCL of Texas is a CDFI and Vista Bank is a traditional bank.
Okay.
Their customers and what they can fund, the portfolio is a lot different.
Of who they can fund.
Gotcha. What type of projects, what type of businesses, what they're looking for. A BCL can be a little more flexible on what they can fund. Community-oriented, smaller projects, small business-focused, etc. However, they're still a standard.
Right.
You have to be in business, generating revenue, at least a year. Credit scores can be a little less, but they're going to give you the tools that you need. Most of the CDFIs have a component of technical assistance. They have programs that you can be a part of. Another one is People Fund, right? Those are your CDFIs and microlenders. Whereas a Vista Bank, they're looking for construction deals. They're looking for maybe restaurant build outs. They're looking for, you know, pretty weighty businesses.
Right.
So yes, they support small businesses, but most of the time it's the SBA standard of a small business. 500 employees, 100 employees or less and like $5 million in revenue.
Mm.
That's a small business according to the SBA.
Right.
So back to your question of what or how does the entrepreneur know when they're ready or what to look for is based on how they structure their business, how their revenue flows into their business, and what they are able to pay back. And sometimes, and another misconception, you know, if you have a JOB, that helps.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. It helps because, again, they want to see how you can pay that loan back. So if you have other sources of income, that helps you versus I'm not making any money in my business. I don't have a job, but I need money.
Mm-hmm. No, that was really good. That was really good. So I just think sometimes, like you mentioned with community, you may be around other entrepreneurs and you may hear them say, oh, I just got this loan from over here, or yeah, I just got approved for this and that. And then it's like, should I get me a loan? Should I do this? But it's like internally, are you even ready for that next step? Right. Like asking yourself those questions and make sure that you have those answers, because we just try to jump and keep up with the Joneses when you're really not at that stage. And there's nothing wrong with it, but sometimes you have to pivot and know what you are ready for and what you're not ready for.
Joneses lie. Let me say that.
Okay.
Keeping up with the Joneses. It's Joneses lie. No offense to anybody named Jones. Uh-huh. But they lie.
Yeah. It's a whole facade out here.
It's a whole facade.
Social media, you don't know.
It's a whole. They lie.
I saw somebody had mentioned they may look like they have millions and millions of dollars having Maseratis, Lamborghinis.
Struggling.
And have a whole air mattress.
Struggling.
With an apartment.
Struggling.
But you don't know that because they're going to show you what they want to show you.
Yes.
So that is a really good point. So that's the reason why you, even going back to prayer, asking for direction and guidance.
Ooh.
Having a mentor, having programs that you could talk to, because at the end of the day, you're not alone. And with having God there with you, I think it's very important to lean on him because it can be stressful out here.
Man.
You don't know where that next client's going to come from. You don't know if your product is going to be bought. You don't know. So just having the reassurance, of course, mentors. I have business besties everywhere. Just leaning on people, but also leaning on God.
Yes.
So I do want to talk to you as far as our next segment is highs and lows. And highs I want to talk about first. And if that's anything you want to cheer yourself on, knowing that, yes, things are going great, you know, you just did another cohort or whatever the case may be, right? Or it could be just some advice that you've given somebody and they came back to say, you know what, that was amazing and it helped me with X, Y, and Z.
Okay, so I'll do two really mm-hmm. quick ones. So organizationally, Foundations, EDC, or Entrepreneur Development Company, we have extended the international arm.
Ooh.
So we are officially an international company. We're working with programs out of St. Lucia, South Africa, India.
Come on.
And we have one that's kind of pending in Pakistan, but that one is, so mm-hmm. that's the thing.
You're global.
Right? We are a global brand and I'm excited about that. Then to your point about helping someone in testimonies, just today, a young lady near and dear to my heart. So she did a video for me and she was saying how, so I own the Innovation Center, South Dallas Fair Park Innovation Center. And she said about a year and a half ago, she started coming to the business banking and breakfasts. And since then, she has just developed into this person. She's an older lady, but she's gone back to school and she started doing more networking. And it almost brought me to tears because, you know, she's mentioned, she was like, just your energy and your positive, you know, attitude. And you're always pushing me. And every time I saw you, you were like, girl, what, you know, and she said that re-energized her. She was a former hairdresser and, you know, that business went away. But she's like back at it and like legit, she did a video for me to tell me about that. And those are the kind of things for me mm-hmm. that keep me coming back mm-hmm. because this journey is hard and I'm an entrepreneur helping entrepreneurs.
Right.
So whoo, I won't even, that's a whole other podcast. That's where I would say my two highs are right now.
I love that for you. Cause like I mentioned, Ashley was like, you need to go talk to Darlisa.
Shout out, Ashley.
So it's the flowers for me, and I love that. So on the opposite end of the spectrum, I do want to pick your brain on a low moment, a pivot in your entrepreneur journey, like you mentioned. Anything to where you had questioned yourself? And what was the lesson behind it to where you are today? Because, again, you are still doing amazing things for the community.
So the lows, I'll say the imposter syndrome.
Absolutely.
Right? Because like I said in the beginning, in my mind, I'm an everyday person, right? Family, faith, all the things. And sometimes, you know, the question of, am I doing it right? Yes. Am I supposed to be? And then you have situations that will humble you, where you're thinking, you know, you're assuring and this should happen for you. And then you see it bypass. And it's like, what is that for? And do you realize it had nothing to do with you? It was a them thing. Or maybe it was God's way of being like, girl, I ain't gave you that direction.
Absolutely.
And that hurts because we get excited. No, I say we, me, you get excited and you want to do things and you're like, rah. And it's that moment where it becomes a little bit too much about you. And God is like, are you done? And then it's like, he puts you back to that thing of, now when you're ready to focus on what I have for you, then we can proceed. So he'll let, when I say feelings get hurt.
Okay.
Hurt.
Get humbled. Real quick,
right?
Yes.
So there's kind of like a blessing in that because it's a reminder. Like he loves us so much that he's going to remind you, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, right after that, he's going to love on you and he's going to bring you to that point of, now that you're focused, now that you're listening, I'm going to show you what I have for you. And so there's been times where, you know, I may have applied for different opportunities or wanted to speak at a certain thing, or, you know, you've helped so many different people in this capacity and now there's a paid opportunity and they're like, oh, but we went with, and you're like, I know for a fact
that job should have been mine.
Job, that grant, that opportunity, anything. That should, what?
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds you, where are you focusing your energy?
Right.
Right? And that's realignment. And I've had to learn.
That's good.
You have to refocus your energy. If you're constantly giving and giving to a source, and that source is not feeding you back, we don't like to break those ties because we feel validated in that. But the reality of it is, you're not getting fed from that source. So it's time to cut that cord. And what you'll realize is there's so much more once you let that go, but we get attached. And I've been married for a very long time, so I don't know what breaking up is like. But those breakups hurt because you have become loyal, attached, and it has become a part of your identity. But then you're like, that hasn't fed me not once. And I've had several people steal your ideas. They take credit. And it's just like, am I really on the right path? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? So I would say those are the lows. And they happen often.
They do. That was good. Okay. So one free advice.
Yeah.
Something that's actionable. I think a lot of times either we get attached to things, we go to these coaches, sometimes it may be programs, and we sit there and it goes over our head and we're like, why did we go here? Why am I here in the first place? So for you, if we can get one free advice that can help us move forward.
Okay. Self-assessment. That's going to be my actionable thing. Take a pause and do a self-assessment. Don't think about what this organization can say about you, what this person can say. Don't think about the accolade. Don't think about anything. Pause and do a self-assessment and say, you know what? Am I a good person? Am I cut out for this business? Have I done all that I can do? Not did they pay me?
Yeah.
Have they supported me? Self-assessment. Mm-hmm. Because that self-assessment is a game changer. It's a game changer, right? Because we project onto other people the deficiencies that we have within ourselves.
Ooh.
Right?
Come on. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Right? And the reality of it is, we're asking people to do something for us that we're not even willing to do for ourselves.
Yes.
So that would be my advice. Do a self-assessment.
That is, and you gave us questions to ask ourselves as well. Come on, two piece.
You know?
That was good. Okay, so tell the people how they can reach out to you, social media, websites, etc.
Okay, so listen. The best way is to probably Google Darlisa Dilts. And all this stuff is going to start popping up. But I will mention a few good things that, you know, tangible. So the South Dallas Fair Park Innovation Center is a flexible workspace located in the heart of Fair Park. Definitely check it out. So many amazing resources, opportunities there. Foundations, Entrepreneur Development Company. We work with cities, municipalities, nonprofit organizations, and we're helping them build out infrastructure. So on our website, loads of resources that you can attach yourself to, that you can connect with. Now, for me personally, I am a LinkedIn girl. So if you are on LinkedIn, please connect with me. Darlisa Diltz, D-I-L-T-Z, is how you can find me. People do get on my nerves, but I love people, okay? So if there's anything that I can do to help you, it will probably come by way of a redirection or a connection or, you know, routing you to a right source. But please connect with me. I would love, love, love to. There's some amazing programs that are coming up for the first quarter. Get connected. Yeah. Knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
And no one can take away your knowledge but the good Lord.
Absolutely. You have been a blessing today. Okay, so our last thing is our motivational moment. And today, it is going to be a Bible verse. Usually, sometimes it's a quote, something that I scroll, and I'm like, ooh, let's bring it on. But this was actually a devotional in the Bible app. I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. And when I was getting the questions together, I was like, hello, we know where to go to, because this was great. We are going to talk about discipline. So the Bible verse is from Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I'm going to say it again. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So when I first read this, I actually got tearful because it reminded me that where we are today, if it's good, bad, happy, or sad, it's always temporary. God doesn't give us anything that, for one, that we can't handle, right? And for two, sometimes we may have to pivot, but we're so attached to things, it's just like, we need to let go. And the discipline of it is that training portion of it, of waking up early, having self-assessment, reflection, going to certain meetings, going to network events, actually talking to people, reaching out to people on LinkedIn. Or Lisa said, reach out to her. She says she'll make sure that she gets the information that she needs. But sometimes we don't do it. And I think that's where we get stuck. And we ask ourselves, do we need to pivot or do we need to stay here? And a lot of times, it's just like let me say this, majority of the times, we have the answer within ourselves. Mm-hmm. Do we do it? Yes. Sometimes, no. But I think the discipline sometimes is just making a choice. Mm-hmm. I think really when it comes to discipline, like even with me, I think my biggest thing right now is waking up to work out, journal and pray before I even pick up my phone in the morning. That is where I really am because of things that have been going kind of slow. I'm too focused on that to where I need to go back to lean on God and get back to self with Brianna again. And with that, I know when I'm in a place with God, everything is good. My spirit is up. I'm reminded about scripture, what the word says, and that helps me move the needle versus me trying to move the needle by myself. So when it comes to discipline, it may be hard. It may be tough. But I think that is the stretching part and the growth part of wherever you are in your journey. What are your thoughts?
That was excellent. And that is very fitting, mm-hmm. right? And like, it's almost confirmation for me because I was literally just having a thought similar. So I'm going to have to get that scripture from you again. Mm-hmm. But what it reminds me of, I'll give a prime example. I have an amazing team at the Innovation Center. I have an amazing team on both ends, right? So the Innovation Center, shout out Kimio Duncan, Jessica Hayden, they hold it down. And they do amazing things, right? And so I've taken a step back because, you know, delegation. And what I realized is, like, there was no infrastructure.
Yeah.
They're two good people. They do good work. We're going to make it happen. And I was used to being hands in, right? So there was not a lot of structure and process in place. And once an element is removed, it kind of causes a little bit. So it was on me, and I was like, man, it was easy when it was just like, okay, y'all do it. But when you had to really design and put structure in place, it was hard,
yeah.
Right? It was hard for me because I didn't want to seem like I was micromanaging. It was hard for them because it's like, oh, what did we do wrong? You know,
right.
So it was hard for all of us, but now it flows a lot better because there's understanding, there's no gray lines, there's, you know, so like that
structure.
Is so fitting. Mm-hmm. Without the discipline, it seemed easy,
absolutely.
You know, the accountability, you know, well, whatever. But then once you put that structure in place, it's like tough at first, but it does make for better flow.
Absolutely.
It makes for better communication. Mm-hmm. So that is so fitting for right now. And it made me think about just me as a person too. Because in my life, I'm like, YOLO, right? Carpe diem. And that's easy. And I do find a lot of times when things are too rigid, like I resist, right? But rigidness is needed in some cases because it does flow better and you can now see the outcome. So, man,
that was
very timely.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That was very timely.
All right. Well, this is a wrap. Did you have anything you feel like I left out today? Anything you want to leave the people?
I just want to say thank you so much again for this opportunity. However, I can support what it is that you're doing. I would love to do that. LinkedIn, Darlisa, Dills, check me out. But thank you for this conversation. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. We have been absolutely blessed by all the gems and education resources, all the above that you gave to us. So I'm thankful for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, ladies and gents, if you're listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you for tuning in to another episode of What's Good Podcast. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Javon. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.